Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now can you dig that, sucker?
From La Cocina Studios, it's 142nd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
This is Chris.
No, it's shut up.
And thank you so much for tuning into our show today, guys. We very much appreciate it. Yeah, my phone has been blowing up today because of, we'll get to the NXT stuff, but
Chris,
basically, I have no juice.
You don't start off a show by saying no viewers.
Right, no Periscope. No, he's talking about the Periscope. Yeah. That's what he's talking about.
And then he's talking about he has no juice.
Yes.
Yeah, on my phone. My phone's almost dead, so yeah, no Periscope today, guys.
For the two people that do it?
Yeah. Big news that was news, and now it's not news because it was up, and now it's down. NXT coming to Houston, the Bayou Music Center, on September the 17th. It was up. It was online. You could go to WWE.com, search events, and it was on there, and then it went away. So, I don't know. I don't know why it went away.
I don't know. All I know is I've been a wrestling fan for damn near all my life, and I've never seen such commotion for a freaking house show ever in my life.
Well, is it a house show? I mean, it's NXT.
Apparently, it's nothing anymore. It doesn't even matter.
I guess it's not there.
I have my reasons. I've been planning for the last 18 months to drive to Florida to catch an NXT show.
Yeah.
to add more fuel to the fire, apparently Saturday while I was working the bridal show, I used my cell phone to buy a ticket to go to see NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Which I thought I had. Until Ticketmaster error on their end, probably through the mobile ordering or whatever, I wound up not having the ticket. So by the time I realized I didn't have a ticket for TakeOver, nosebleeds were all that's left.
No.
So literally, if it wasn't sold out by Saturday, I'm pretty damn sure it's sold out now. Oh. Not even a week in.
That's sad.
So
I mean, that would have been cool to go to that one.
Yeah.
Because that's an actual TakeOver show on the same weekend as SummerSlam.
New York. When it's not -1 degrees the last time I went.
Right.
You know, so it would have been fun.
Well, hold on. You were talking about the bridal show. There is something else wrestling related that happened while you were working at the bridal show.
I forgot I only told you two guys.
Yeah.
So, bridal show.
Share with the viewers.
I whore myself out at the bridal show. I basically am at the ticket booth selling tickets. I take your money. I give you the piece of paper that I let you in. And bada bing, bada boom. Mm-hmm.
Extra cash, side job type thing.
Yeah, cash, extra money, which I was going to use for Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Unbeknownst to me, a custom person comes up to buy a pair of tickets, and lo and behold, it's freaking Vicky Guerrero.
Excuse me?
Vicky Guerrero! Vicky Guerrero with her fiancé is at the booth, and I was like, oh my God, Vicky.
And what'd you do?
I marked out like a little bitch. I didn't do what you guys just did. Because I wasn't thinking straight. Like, I was counting my money.
You were caught off guard.
I was caught off guard. I didn't see it coming.
And, in your defense, you know in the back of your mind, everywhere that lady goes to, when she goes somewhere, someone says, excuse me.
I have to.
Yeah.
So you wanted to be the polite guy and not be the jerk.
I'm getting paid, so I'm not going to be a dick. If I'm on break, I'm going to whip it out and hit as many people as I can.
So you're
by then, I couldn't find her.
They had to be very, 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 very close.
Yes. And short.
So basically, he's on break right now.
Ah.
That's why you got that big f***ing grin on your face.
Whoop-ha.
No, I believe the proper term is...
Whoop-ha.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my mark out moment for the weekend. You know, women.
I'm done with this episode.
Women were all creaming over this guy, Randy Fanoli from Say Yes to the Dress, and then some other dude from What Not to Wear was there. I had my moment, Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah.
You know, which was odd because she came on a Sunday. The Saturday before, a friend of ours posted on his Facebook page that we're all privy to the footage of The Rock. Singing to Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I showed
coincidence.
Yeah, I showed the women that I was working with that video that day, and then the next day, boom, there's Vicky
Guerrero.
There
she is.
Yeah.
Did the other chicks that were there working with you, like when Vicky Guerrero came up and said, "Hey, no. That's the one I was showing you the video about yesterday."
They didn't see her because they were busy. Obviously, we all had our little lines and we were taking care of business.
Okay.
But when I explained to them who it was, they're like, "You mean the chick from the video?" It's like, "Yeah."
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
How'd she look? Did she look good? All right. She seemed the same.
She looked the same. Yeah, she looked the same. Mm. Yeah. If cougars are your thing, then...
You know, did she have the cougar necklace? That'd be pretty fun if she did.
Would have been awesome.
Well, the fiancé, was he a cub?
Oh, no.
No?
Nah, it was more like the good dinosaur. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay.
But it was cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. There we go. All right. So, that's some cool stuff. We talked about NXT, this upcoming weekend. Well, not this weekend. The
past weekend.
Thank you. This past weekend, we had Doomsday Wrestling.
Doomsday.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Do we have this written down in the notes?
No.
Because I was the only one that went out.
Yeah, do notes.
Out of you three jerks. Or two jerks. I'm the third.
Yeah.
You two are jerks because y'all didn't go.
How long did you wait?
I was there in spirit.
How long did you wait before the doors opened outside?
I got there about an hour beforehand.
An hour before?
Yeah.
And what was the temperature outside?
Hot as balls.
I digress.
Yeah, it was pretty hot out there. But whatever, just hanging out in front of numbers, chilling, waiting. It wasn't that bad. But, we got in and we had pretty good seats. And there was standing room only, literally. There was people standing all around over by the bar areas and everything. It was packed in there. So I'm glad that we did get in get in early.
Just curious. What time the doors open?
8.
What time the show start?
9.
You digress. Oh,
yeah.
But no.
Give us a quick little rapid fire of the Doomsday show in general.
Shorter than what you told us yesterday.
Okay. I thought that this one was going to be a little bit slower than the other Doomsdays that I've been to. I really didn't get really into the swing of things until everything started finally coming together as far as the theme of the show, because there wasn't a clearly defined theme like towards the beginning of the show. But what wound up happening is that the Russian Bear decided that he was going to become a plastic surgeon, and he was giving everybody boob jobs. Mr. Cuddles had a boob job. El Bano had a boob job, and
You get a boob job, and you get a boob job. Basically. Everybody gets a boob job.
And he was going to give a boob job to...
A boobje. Yeah.
What kind of show is this?
A boob job.
Doomsday.
To Beefy Joe, but Beefy Joe was going to have none of it as being the champ, you know? And, he got kidnapped because apparently the boob jobs were also mind control implants, not just, for breasticles. And apparently he had an army of big breasted fellers doing his bidding, and they kidnapped Beefy Joe and implanted him, and the whole plan was to
Beefy Joe got a BJ.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. The whole plan was to control him, use the mind control to defeat him to become the Doomsday world champ. And it backfired in typical Doomsday fashion, which was great. Beefy was able to overcome the mind control, and him and Mr. Cuddles and El Bano ripped the boobs out of his own chest, which at that point was revealed that not only were they mind control breast implants, but they were also thermal nuclear devices, because Russian Bear, LOL. And
we saw how good it worked out for Chernobyl.
Yeah, exactly. So they wound up taking out these nuclear boob devices, mind control devices, and tossing them into the back area where there was an explosion, apparently, and Russian Bear was exploded, and his charred remains were taken out.
What did the charred remains look like?
The charred remains looked very much like a mannequin with a Russian Bear shirt.
Ah, okay.
Very charred, it got pinned 1-2-3. That was the end of the main event. Gotcha. And in celebration, everybody had a wet t-shirt contest because, all the boobs. So, we got some twerking out of Mr. Cuddles and El Bano, and You know, me, Beefy Joe, because he still had some stuff there. But then randomly a ref came out. Apparently he had a boob job too. So, you know, there's all these dudes running around with big old knockers. And out came the Super Soakers and what t-shirt contest.
So basically you can just sum up Doomsday by just saying BJs.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Hooray, boobs. So that was Doomsday.
Podcast title, Hooray, Boobs. I'm writing it down.
Hooray, boobs. Yes.
Between that and the NXT women invading Raw, it is Hooray, Boobs. Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a transition, my man.
All right.
Play with it.
He couldn't do it.
What did we get in Battleground instead of a triple threat with Ryback?
Well, we had a triple threat with the ladies.
Boobs.
Boobs.
How about that?
Yes.
How about that?
Man, boobs are like the best thing ever.
You're just not figuring this out?
No, I'm just reiterating.
I think you're just not figuring this out.
Oh, maybe a little.
Yeah, I missed mine already.
Yeah. Okay. So who won it? Being it was a representative from each. Was it
Charlotte,
Brie, and
Sasha?
That's right. Yeah, I liked it. I liked the match. It was pretty good. What'd you guys think of the match?
Maybe I had high expectations because of Sasha and Charlotte, but it seems like they were kind of fumbling around for a while in that ring. Honestly,
yeah.
Maybe because I don't know.
We've
seen them do what we know what they can do in NXT. Mm-hmm. I think I asked all guys this during the show. I was like, is the ring bigger in WWE? Because maybe that was throwing them off or something. I'm not really sure. And I think the added ingredient of a Bella possibly even further devalued the match a little bit.
Well, I think that's what Chris said during the match. It seemed as though Charlotte and Sasha had to kind of slow their pace down. Or, you know, said that?
Yeah.
You said
Travis
that.
Said it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Chris.
Don't give him credit for someone.
Yeah. Jerk. Yeah, it had to slow their pace down to kind of, quote-unquote, dumb it down for Brie.
Yeah, I saw quite a bit of that.
Which is kind of weird to say, considering that I had always thought of Brie being the better Bella in the ring.
We all said that before. I said, I wonder who the Bella's going to get. And I said, you know, I bet it'll be Brie. Because out of Brie, Nikki, and Alicia, I think we all agree that Bree's probably the best one they got.
Mm-hmm. Probably so, yeah.
Maybe Alicia.
No.
Nah.
No? She's got a couple moves, but that's about it.
Nah.
Okay, who's better, Alicia or Nikki, if you had to choose one?
Nikki. Yeah. Definitely. Right. Definitely Nikki.
Yeah.
By
default.
Yeah, okay. By frog's hair.
Yeah.
Frogs have hair?
Yeah, it's very tiny, so you can't see it. That's why the phrase is frog's hair.
So you can't see him?
Okay. Other than NXT invading Battleground, what did you guys think of Lesnar Undertaker?
Well, they didn't fight. It was
Lesnar Rollins.
Yeah.
We were counting off the number of suplexes, and Rollins was pretty much getting beat pillar to post, which isn't exactly the kind of match that I really wanted to see. And then it just stopped.
It was very lazy in my mind because they knew what they had with Cena and the Suplex City. Hey, let's just do that until we can have interference come in.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
So if you like, was it, when was that, SummerSlam?
Yeah.
What was Suplex City? When was that?
SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam. Last year.
God, it's already been a year?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they were calling that Suplex City, but it was
Cena No. It was,
It was Cena versus Brock.
Damn, it's been a year already.
Well, they didn't dub Suplex City.
That's when Cena got raped.
Yeah, Cena got beat, but they weren't calling it Suplex City. The phrase Suplex City came like, what, 3-4 months ago?
Before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because WrestleMania is when they started chanting it.
Lesnar said it
in the ring, and the next night's when it started.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, my point is, I think they said, okay, what are we going to do with this match? I don't know. Let's just do what they did last year with Cena and just keep doing the suplexes. The fans seem to love that shit, so let them do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just keep doing that until we have the finish. And there you go. Ta-da. That's pretty much the match.
That was probably one of the most disappointing main event matches I've seen this year.
Okay.
They were building up to chocolate, and they gave us vanilla. Like, it was a completely different flavor. Like, I was thinking, how are they going to placate Undertaker into this thing to make it seem viable? And it just felt completely off. Like, if they want it under, like Lesnar's talking smack about beating the streak. Lesnar's, Heyman's been talking smack about Kane and his family. Mm. That's been done more than once. Mm-hmm. Taker didn't really set a precedent for why he had to have been involved in that ring. He could have, like, beaten up both of them and then just dragged Rollins on top to, like, further rub it in Lesnar's nose that Lesnar couldn't beat Rollins or that he took away Lesnar's opportunity, like Lesnar took away the streak.
Well, let's back up for a second, because I know we were having our own little fan theories about his motives and everything, because they didn't really say anything. He just kind of attacked Lesnar.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, what was the joke going around? Oh, Rollins morphed into Undertaker.
Oh, he evolved?
Yeah, he evolved, yeah. So, and the thing is, we didn't know why, and that's when our brain started trying...
Corporate Taker.
Yeah, we're saying, okay, and you're making all those good points like you just said. Okay, Kane and all this other stuff. And yeah, but then he didn't really do anything else that would signify that he was being a heel.
Yeah.
Undertaker. Yeah. Which cuts to Raw, you know, him opening up with that promo.
Which I think that's when all of our hopes of maybe this is where this is going were dashed. Basically, this is happening at this point in SummerSlam season that should have happened at this point last year's SummerSlam season. Like, it would have made way more sense if, you know, WrestleMania 30 happened, then that SummerSlam, that's when you get the rematch, the revengeing, you know?
Or he did not fight Bray Wyatt
at WrestleMania 31.
And that's what I was saying before, is that WrestleMania 31 would have been Dark Knight Rises. Batman gets back at Bane.
Yeah.
Which didn't, like, that would have been good. Like, we're having this feud 16 months later.
It seems forced.
16 months later, and with something in between where they were on the same card.
Yeah.
Brock and Taker were both at WrestleMania 31. Hello, guys.
Not just that.
Yeah.
Further rewind. We all agreed that Lesnar-Taker at WrestleMania 30 was probably one of the worst matches on that card.
Yeah.
And now they're advertising it as the main event?
Yeah.
Whose anticipation level is higher than a 3 right now for this? Just on 2 nights worth of build.
Well, here's the thing.
I would say my anticipation level is higher because I like what they're doing. I just think the timing of it is off. If I can pretend that this is SummerSlam 2014 and not 2015, I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know?
Here's what kind of, I don't want to say threw me off, but just kind of killed it for me was there was already rumors and there was, I saw like promotional pictures and this and that of Undertaker supposedly appearing. And people already chanting his name, things like that. It was just that kind of stuff. They need, like, WWE needs to take a rein on that and just find a way to somehow not let stuff get leaked out.
Yeah.
Or have rumors. Because things like that, that kills it for, like, that would have been cool.
That's like an equivalent of me being Spoiler McGee because they're ruining for you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on a corporate level now.
Okay, yeah.
Because you even said, even if this match started, something about.
Did you hear about you think the Taker thing's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that's a big part of it. You know, if I had not known anything,
yeah,
I'd be like, oh, okay, this is weird.
Well, I mean, we might be talking in circles here, but again, I want to reiterate that I would like this a lot more right now, SummerSlam 2015, if it was more of Undertaker's becoming corporate Undertaker, and the whole reason why he's doing this is to get at Brock, who would have had the title or is trying to get the title or something. He's doing it to align himself with Triple H and Rollins and all this and that, just because the enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing, and that's it.
Tie it into something that's relevant to now, not relevant to 16 months ago.
If it's just the revengeing, it's still good the way they're doing the revengeing if this was 2014.
Yeah.
Well, okay, storyline aside.
Yeah.
That brawl...
Holy crap.
Between Lesnar and Undertaker. I'm sorry. No, that was a good segment. I'm sorry.
It was good.
Dude, that tackle.
Yeah.
Lesnar taking
you're going to have to, or I'm going to kill you. You're going to have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
That part is very, makes it very personal and this and that, and it connects it to WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago. If there's that one little disconnect, you know, the time frame, there's that one little thing. Other than that, I'm digging it so far.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was one fan theory that was out there that was sent to our Twitter by our friend Nicole Bacon, who she said that, well, The Bray Wyatt was here. Let me back up a little bit. She said that Undertaker's like Mario, and Brock is like Bowser, and he went to go try to beat up Bowser, and he got small, so he had to go and eat a mushroom, which is Bray Wyatt. Now that he's big again, now he could go challenge Bowser again. Now that's
a far-reaching.
You need at least a fire flower or a cape or some other kind of weapon.
You need more,
especially if Lesnar's walking around with a pair of axes over his shoulders.
You're not going to beat Bowser without a fireball or something.
No,
yeah,
that's just everyone knows that.
That's just silly talk.
Yeah,
bacon.
Yeah,
what does she know?
Yeah,
all she does is sizzle. What else? So where does that leave Rollins?
That's a good question.
I don't know, and I was excited, and I liked what he did when he came out and did his promo on Raw.
Until,
that's the last guy I want to see feuding with Rollins right now, because first off, U.S. title and the world title, they need to be separate, you know. Second off, well, it's Cena, and third, like, dude, give Rollins something where he can be not the scared running away guy. Like, he needs to be a little bit more established. Like, that was a main criticism that we had going into Battleground, that Rollins was just running and running and running and being the cowardly heel, and the cowardly heel has been done to death, especially when you have such a good opportunity with a young, quote-unquote, unexperienced guy that could be just too stupid to not know any better. Like he's such a... Yeah, he's at the top of the card. Yeah, he's chosen as the future, but you could really work this angle. Like, he just has so much confidence that he doesn't know he shouldn't have that much confidence, you know?
I kind of wish they were playing Rollins like that.
I wish they were, but they're not. And you can't pull it off against Cena.
When he does promos, he's cocky and arrogant.
Yeah.
When he wrestles, he's confident in the ring. But when it comes to one-on-one confrontations with another guy, he's like a 180. He's like hot-tailing it. Yeah. He's scared of him, whatever. For me, it's starting to disconnect me from his character.
Basically, when he has control of his character, which means when he's actually in the ring wrestling, and when he has like in between plot points on promos, he's doing what we're saying he should be doing. But when WWE is giving him the scripted plot points, this is what you're supposed to do, or you're supposed to run away here and there, that's what he does. And yeah, there's a disconnect there. Is he a cowardly heel, or is he the real confident chip on his shoulder, young, small guy who still thinks he could run with the big dogs?
Yeah.
You know, is he the little barky chihuahua that will run after like a freaking German shepherd when it's like, dude, you're a chihuahua, chill, but like he's still nipping at his heels, like, or is he just gonna be a runaway and be a scared little pussycat?
That one.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're saying that U.S. title and the world heavyweight title should remain separate. I think somebody in WWE is telling them, hey, look what they're doing in Ring of Honor. Maybe we can do that better.
Okay.
Triple H just like the Indies.
Yeah. But, okay. Why are we going to unify a title right now when you're already... You just got done doing that 2 years ago, basically, with the World Heavyweight title and the WWE title, and you merged it together, and now you have this belt.
Well, it wouldn't be merged. It would just be dual champion.
Well, I know, but still, I mean, I still have a little bit of this feeling like there's not enough to go around now, you know?
This is all Daniel Bryan's fault.
Yeah, dang it.
In the end, it's not really going to matter. Between the finish on Sunday of the pay-per-view and the way they're building up SummerSlam, it's worth $9.99.
What's worth $9.99?
SummerSlam.
Okay.
But that's it. Like, if you're expecting more, then you should be paying $50-$60 on pay-per-view to have the right to complain. Like, I'm already, between the way they handled the Rollins-Cena thing, which is most likely what it looks like we're going to end up getting, for what, I don't know, and Lesnar-Taker ending the show...
Well, let's talk about one thing real quick, because we were talking about Cena going against Rollins. Cena fought Owens in the third match at the show there.
Uh-huh.
So Owens lost cleanly. He tapped.
Yeah.
What do we think about that?
Okay, first off, I just want to throw this out there. It's definitely a match of the week candidate. the match would have been damn near flawless if it wasn't for the finish. I think the finish diminishes it.
Chris had a good idea how it should have ended.
All right, Chris, out with
there. There was one mole on the Cindy Crawford face that could have easily been removed. Owens should have just passed out.
Yes, thank you.
That's it. Owens should have passed out, and then Cena would have been like, this motherfucker heel. You know?
Yeah.
That he literally, leave it open-ended. And it literally would be, because Cena technically didn't beat him. Mm-hmm. He didn't get him to tap out. He didn't pin him 1-2-3. And Owens would not have lost credibility because he wasn't the one to tap out. He could have taken at least that momentum and gone back to NXT to get his rematch with Balor at Brooklyn, which we'll get to later. It feels like Rusev. Rusev won that first match against Cena. Hook or crook, oh my God, Rusev beat him.
Rusev, Batista, Umaga, Bobby Lashley.
Umaga never beat Cena, ever.
Okay.
Rusev got the first win on the one on the first time confrontation. Rusev got the win at Fastlane. WrestleMania, Extreme Rules, that was it.
So now we have Owens.
So now Owens is right back down to irrelevance.
Oh, Owens is in the same category as everybody else that has had hot feuds with Cena that were a threat to Cena that could have come out on top. He's just another name on that list. Yeah, sure, he beat him in the first match, but that was just a battle in the overall war. Right now, in the overall war, he's done.
And not only that, who you know who I'm comparing him to?
Who?
You're going to love this.
Who?
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, yes, you're right.
Like right now on Raw, I officially don't care about Kevin Owens already.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
It's a shame, too, because you could say, like Bully Ray said on Twitter today or yesterday, that you know, he doesn't need to go over to get over. And yeah, it was really weird seeing Bully Ray commenting on Kevin Owens and Cena, but you know, that's what he said. And for the most part, I would agree with that type of statement. You don't need to go over to get over. But in this instance,
if it's anyone else, but if it's against Cena,
in this particular instance with Cena, like even in a losing effort, like you could look good, but I think the problem here is that after all the stuff he kicked out of, after the attitude adjustment off of the turnbuckles, after, you know, all that stuff, you lightly tap out to an STF just for no reason. Like, I don't want to say for no reason, it's his finisher, but still, like, Cena did so much more stuff to you that just a simple STF is really gonna, like, and he didn't, like, struggle and oh my god, what am I gonna do? It was like, okay, a minute, all right, well, here, let me kind of half-ass tap, and like, what? It was kind of anticlimactic, and it was like, oh, this is some BS. And
I think what we said right after that happened was, well, there went all the whole win that he had that first match against Cena is out the window.
Yeah, they could have made Kevin Owens right now as their next new guy. The last few new guys that they have actually made have all been from The Shield, you know? And even then, you could only say about 1.5 guys they've made. They've made Rollins, they've halfway made Roman, and they haven't even really made Dean. But in the last few years, who else have they made? Nobody. Kevin Owens could have been that guy. 2015, you know what? They made him. But they didn't make him. They're just this one simple tap out just ruined it all and threw it all out the window.
And not just for Owens. You look back. You showed me that picture earlier. Neville. Who did he lose to in the first 2 weeks of him showing up on the brand?
Cena.
Sami Zayn
showed up on the roster. Who did he lose to?
Cena. And then got injured.
That brings us to our answer, HWR. You know, I mean, yeah. NXT might be a threat to my eyes, maybe to other listeners like Nicole, you know, but if they're always going to try to step up just to get knocked down by the measuring stick, it goes back to your point, you know. If Cena's going to always win the war, we're not going to want to watch Cena fight anybody because battles aren't going to matter if the war's already over.
Right.
So why care that we're watching Cena against Rollins again? Why care if we want to see Kevin Owens against Cena again? Why care if Sami Zayn comes back for round two? Why care if Neville actually grows 5 inches and tries to do it again? I mean, it doesn't...
Yeah.
Like, the good that he was starting to do with the U.S. Open Invitational and having Owens come in and start the feud that way, it not only hurt Owens' reputation and momentum, I kind of feel like it knocked NXT down a peg.
Probably, yeah.
Because the like that meme that we saw on the internet, who's left? Tommy and Balor.
And Balor.
And Balor already has been challenged by Cena backstage after
BCD
East. And Tommy's injured. Like, if he's going to knock off, if he's going to win the war against everyone that's developing, unless Cena takes a back seat and leaves, no one's going to care about anything that Cena does, regardless of what belt he has, because the outcome's going to
be the same. No one's going to care about the NXT guys.
Yeah.
No one's going to care about the NXT
guys. And you know what? A lot of people are praising, and I'm going to praise him too, for Cena's work that he's been doing in the last few matches. He's been doing good. He's been doing new moves. He's been trying. I mean, some things we don't like the springboard stunner. But there's other things that he does that it's like, oh, wow. And he's putting on good matches with Cesaro, with, you know,
Cesaro, Neville. Rusev, Neville, Zack Ryder, Owens. Freaking Cesaro, Owens. Rusev,
yeah.
Owens.
He's been putting on great matches. So I want to praise him in that capacity.
Booking-wise,
is that it's still LOL Cena wins.
Right.
With this U.S. title stuff, all it is LOL Cena wins. And sure, okay, we've rectified one problem where it was five moves of Doom Cena. Okay, we've rectified that. He's making people look like credible threats, and he's having to pull out new moves and stuff to actually defeat these people. Great, that's one part. But the other part is to actually have Cena lose to one of these guys. And it's not that, oh, we want to see the world burn and Cena just go away and die in flames. No, just have him lose a war. That's it. You've done it with Orton, and you love Orton, and you still push him to the moon, but you've had him lose wars before. Triple H has lost wars before. Everybody else on that roster has lost wars, but who has never lost a freaking war? Cena! And that's why. That's what's making him unendeared to the IWC fans. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it is, that even though he's putting on these awesome five-star matches, even though he's stepped up his game and put new moves into his repertoire, even though he's still working his ass off just as hard as all the other internet darlings, we still take a crap all over him because of the way he is booked.
Calm down, my man. It's all right. You're gonna pop a vessel there. You're coming home, Elizabeth.
I'm going home. I can't follow that. So.
Travis.
Oh, goddamn.
Change subject, I guess.
Cesaro.
Oh, I like him.
How much so?
I don't know.
Can you say it in five languages?
No.
Me gusta. There you go. That's
me gusta.
One. Yeah, that's one. That's Spanish.
Me likey.
Me likey, that's Chinese.
I was going to say, that's Chris. That's Chrissy's.
Me likey.
What'd you think of the six-man tag with Cesaro main eventing?
On Raw, right?
Yeah.
It was fun what it was, but for whatever reason, I just couldn't get into it. Just the fact that it's who's involved and, I don't know, when it comes to multi-tag matches, the only thing interesting in it was what happened with the heels. Owens... Basically saying screw you, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Then to him and first it was him and.
And then it was Sheamus.
Him and Rusev first, right?
No, yeah. I thought Sheamus.
Sheamus was first. Well, and Owens left, and then Sheamus was like, "I'm out of here." After he left, so it was Rusev to lose to the faces here.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I first saw Owens and Sheamus going at it, I was like, "Oh, SummerSlam."
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're gonna have that, but then it continued with. No, I'm sorry. It was I'm getting the guys mixed up. All three of them are fighting each other, so I don't know if they're going to go one on one, Sheamus Owens, or if they're going to bring in Rusev and have them all kind of do a thing.
I don't know. I get a feeling that a lot of that stuff was just booking for the night.
You think so?
Yeah. I still don't see what they're doing at SummerSlam with all these guys. I mean, I know that we just talked a little bit about Cena versus Seth. But I really don't think that's what's going to happen at SummerSlam. I think this is just some sort of weird TV program, and it's going to lead to something different.
And the bad thing is, if you're good at your job, we got 5 weeks till SummerSlam.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, on week five, we've got the main. You know, we have Taker and Brock. So maybe by the time week four, three, and two come around, they're rounding out the card a little bit better. But I really don't think that like, we're going to have Cena versus
Rollins. As of right now, I really don't see where everything's lining up to go to SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. More of the Diva stuff, I guess.
Well, all right, let's talk about the Diva stuff.
Divas.
Well, we already talked about what happened with them on Battleground, right? Or or was that before we?
That was
before,
only Battleground.
That was the one, the one-on-one. The, I mean, the triple threat.
And then we got more on Raw.
Yeah, we got a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, we had two matches. We had a tag team, and we had a one-on-one match.
Oh yeah, that's right. Wow, we had two of these Divas matches in one night on Raw. That's women's that's rare.
Match.
Excuse me, women's. Yes.
Stop trying to make Divas happen.
Yeah, sorry.
You know what? I said this last week, and I hope I don't repeat this every week while this thing's going on.
We're gonna.
But I want them to, when this is all said and done, and dust is settled, I want it to be the women's division.
Right.
And not the Divas. Or at least, you can call it Divas. Just get rid of that stupid belt.
The Polly Pocket belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Lisa Frank belt.
Polly Pocket. That's a good one, yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the, I think it was during the tag match, I messaged you, I said, what's that weird, strange noise I'm hearing in the background? Oh, wait, that's a crowd reaction.
Yeah, yeah. There has been crowd reaction for the ladies, and rightfully so. They are still, they're doing a good job. And, you know, Sasha getting a win on Raw, that was good.
I don't know if when Becky Lynch did her finisher, I can't believe that's the first time I've heard the name Disarmer.
No, that was the first time that I heard that too. That I don't think that they were calling that on
because she just started NXT. Doing it. Because she only had like two matches since she did that move.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's.
I mean, if they did, okay, fine. We're mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that was the
anyway,
first time.
It's a nice name for me.
It is a really nice name. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Also, like Last Kicker.
Yes. Yes.
Makes sense.
How about Shield against the Wyatts?
Ah, this is the Wyatts. Wow. Yeah, two-thirds of the Shield versus two-thirds of the Wyatts. I like it.
If they call back to the original feud.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a complete rehash. I do feel like it's more organic than it has been in the past, but at the end of the day, I'm like, hey, wait a second. We've seen this before, you know? But
last year.
It's still good. I mean, I don't think it's terrible, but... you know, I wanted to see where's the twist, where's the new angle on all this. Because, I mean, if you're not careful, you're basically going to have two-thirds Shield versus two-thirds Wyatt, which isn't as good as whole Shield versus whole Wyatts, mm-hmm. You know? But I'm waiting for the twist. I mean, there's rumors going around that they're going to introduce a new Wyatt member and that maybe Sting is going to... show up and help out Ambrose.
Spoiler McGee over here. Just ruined it for you, Trav.
No, this is rumors. This isn't a spoiler. This is a maybe could happen.
And let's step it back again to that the original feud. We're a long ways away from a time and place where you could have three Wyatt members step up to one side of the ring, and you have Shield on one side, and you have Roman Reigns just take a step forward, and people goes bananas.
Yeah,
losing their mind, saying this is awesome before the match even starts.
Right,
we're far removed from that time frame,
especially so, with Roman.
Yeah, so if you're gonna harp on that original feud, you're probably gonna get yourself into a corner or bind that you don't want to get into.
Right. Yeah. Not to say that I don't feel like what they've been doing has been organic. I think that it snuck up on us in a way that's a good way of it sneaking up on us. It doesn't feel like it's shoehorned. You know?
You mean when Bray just randomly interfered in that Money in the Bank match to cost Roman Reigns the...
Yeah, but I don't feel it was like, oh, I'm going to set up for Bray or set up for Wyatt's versus Shield. Like, I think it was just him going after Roman and that's it. You know? I don't feel like the end game at that point was, oh, hey, in a month we're going to have Shield versus Wyatt's.
No, I was going off that because you said it's organic and everything. Just that first intro of Bray attacking Roman, that wasn't very organic. That was just thrown in there.
Oh, okay.
Somebody wanted to talk about the New Day in primetime.
Yeah. I freaking love Xavier Woods so much right now. All the stuff that he is doing when he's outside, being obnoxious, just running around saying all kinds of stupid stuff, is gold. Also, whenever we happen to have the primetime players on commentary, Darren Young and Titus are gold. And when they're not on commentary and they just grab a microphone and just talk crap, that's gold. In ring, they're all doing very well with each other and separately with other teams. I love what's going on with these two teams. I love it. It's one of the bigger highlights for me for WWE right now, aside from the ladies.
You see, you make sense right there.
Okay.
So I don't understand some of your logic. Well, you say that you love this, and I agree. This is fantastic. But another thing that you said you love, you'll eat it all up, is the stuff with Ziggler and Rusev and Lana and Summer. I can't fathom your ability to withstand that feud or that whole storyline. Case in point, now we have Summer Rae dressing up like Lana.
Ugh. I love that too.
Okay.
I think I love it because it's just so ridiculous and soap opery and campy. Like, it's just so bad to me that it's good. Yeah. On that.
Okay, that's the first time you said it like that.
I'm just waiting for this feud to end by having Rusev in the ring with both of the women with their hair in his hand, and he say, "I'll take them both, I'm Russian." And just kill the storyline and move the F on. Because this is so awkward.
Oh, man. That'll be on WWE's YouPorn account.
Yeah, this
too hot for TV.
Yeah,
yeah. This whole thing with Rusev, it's just gotten out of control, and I think I said this to y'all last week sometime. But what's Summer Rae's purpose in this whole feud? Like, at least Lana would talk for him, introduce him, and that. She had a role. Mm-hmm. Of course, Summer doesn't do anything.
Well, her role now is to become the new Lana.
Yeah. Lana 2.0.
I love. This is so messed up. I love it.
Is this just more just biding time to see what happens with Ziggler? If he's gonna...
Ziggler is actually filming a movie, which is why he's off of television.
Okay. So really? So he did sign a contract and this and that? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because that was a rumor that
he
didn't... Whatever. I assume that it's a WWE Studios production.
Yes.
Did you have an opinion on
to Redbox.
Yes.
Did you have an opinion on the tag team stuff?
It's good. I like it a lot. I mean, it's weird because like we crapped on how long the Usos and Wyatt stuff dragged on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many variables that are just clicking between New Day and Primetime. They can bleed this out to SummerSlam. I mean, to Survivor Series, and I'd still be happy with it.
Here's the difference. This one, you have, it's not just New Day versus Primetime players week in, week out.
You got it.
Sometimes it's Primetime on commentary. Sometimes it's Primetime versus one of these other teams, or even they'll bring in Lucha Dragons or another team, whatever.
Well, they had the Matadors last night, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Sometimes it's Kofi getting eaten by Lesnar.
It's like, in this time, this feud, they're realizing, hey, wait a minute, we have more than two teams on the roster. Mm. What the heck? Let's use them.
Yeah.
And whereas the all the stuff with Usos and...
the Wyatt family.
Yeah, they would just keep going back and forth. Week in, week out. I was like, okay, I get it. They hate each other.
Jay versus Rowan and Harper versus Jimmy. And, let's switch it up on SmackDown.
It's oversaturation. Yeah. And
six-man tag.
And on top of that, not only are they switching around, but they all have charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Woods has charisma for like 10 people combined.
Yeah. Kofi's been having a new set of charisma on him.
That's my most improved so far this year is Kofi.
Yeah?
Because I did not see that coming at all.
You like his skipping to the ring?
No, not his skipping.
His dancing. His dancing, his dancing to the clock.
That little wibbly-wobbly legs thing he does. What the heck? But then tie in that with the mic skills of the primetime players.
Titus, dude.
This feud, man. It's got all... It's firing all cylinders right now. Let it go, you know?
Okay.
All right. That's it for WWE for now.
Yay!
Since WWE is making a habit of going into the past, how about we go to the future? It's been 6 months. Answer HWR. Who you got winning the Rumble?
Oof, that is quite a ways away. We have a week to answer, huh?
Yep.
All right. Listeners, let us know what you think on our Facebook page, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or if you want to answer on Twitter, you can do that as well, @HWrestlingRadio. Who do you think is going to win the 2016 Royal Rumble? Early predictions here.
soft ballot.
Part of the reason why we even came up with this is because we were watching NXT before we were recording, and out comes Sami Zayn talking about, oh, well, he can't compete for this year, this and that. He's going to be out this entire time. We're like, well, wow, he's going to be out for the rest of the year. That means he'll be back in January. What happens in January? Royal Rumble. Yeah. Oh, great. He'll be back in time for the Rumble. He ain't winning. Ain't no way in hell he's winning. Okay, well, then who is? Yeah. And, well, we don't know. We kind of hit a dead end, and we said, well, if we can't come up with something, let's let our listeners come up with something.
Yeah. There you go.
So you want to take a break?
Come up with something, jerks. Yeah, let's take a break.
All right. Hey everybody, this is Chris. Do you ever feel nostalgic? Do you want to jump into that DeLorean and go back in time? Listen to our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind. My friend Travis and I, we talk everything pop culture, movies, television, TV shows, games, video games. You think it, we talk about it. Pop Culture Rewind at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Find us on Twitter at popculturerwnd. And as Travis always says, don't forget to pop your culture.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you'd like to continue to support Houston Wrestling Radio, you could do so in a number of ways. First, if you downloaded us off of iTunes, hit the subscribe button. That way you get every new episode as soon as we upload them. Also, you could write a review as well as give us a rating. If you're listening to us on the Stitcher Radio app, hit the thumbs up button at the bottom of the app. If you want to just interact with us, you can do so on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter, at HWrestlingRadio. You can also send us an email, HoustonWrestlingRadio@gmail.com. And if you're able to support us monetarily, you could buy one of our awesome t-shirts designs at tpublic.com/user/HWRpodcast. Or if you'd like something different, like a phone case or a tote bag or a hoodie, you can do that at redbubble.com/people/HWR podcast. Again, thank you so much for your continued support and enjoy the rest of the show.
This is Jeff.
This is Aaron.
And this is Deep in the Heart of Texas podcast. If you like films that are full of blood, guts, and gore, and
whores, if you like boobs, if you like women, you like the Scream Queens, the Scream Kings,
Movie reviews,
and toys, and collectibles,
then look no further than this horror podcast.
Check us out on Facebook, social media sites, Podbean, iTunes.
Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Bring the whores. We'll bring the funny,
and we will keep it scary.
Hey guys, this is Lisa Marie Barron, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. And if you are not, I am going to come through the speaker and widow's peek your butt.
All right, guys, we are back. Thank you so much for continuing to listen to our show. We very much appreciate it. If you are listening on Texas Sports Review, thank you so much. You should check out all their other stuff too. You know, if you enjoy sports talk, you know, real sports, basketball, football, baseball, stuff like that, check them out. And also give their Facebook page a like as well. So we appreciate everyone that listens to our stuff, however you listen to it. What else we got up on the docket today, guys?
We teased it earlier. How about NXT?
All right, NXT. Let's talk about it.
Liger. Let's just start off with that.
Liger. Yeah. Liger is going to be on NXT soon?
Take over Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yeah. Oh, you didn't do it.
I know, I'm sorry. I was not quick on the draw.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
Yeah, he was announced for the TakeOver show. You can read the spoilers on the internet if you want to find out who he's wrestling against, because those episodes have already been taped.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Say it again.
The episodes for NXT that are leading up to Brooklyn, they start airing this Wednesday, this week coming up. They've been taped on Friday, and that's when it was leaked or announced that Jushin Thunder Liger would be there. Because during the tapings, his opponent's been confirmed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So, spoilers are out there if you want to find out. Otherwise, it's going to be fun watching.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
you know, it's funny about the whole Liger thing because, you know, Internet's a funny thing. They like to go crazy with their own assumptions of everything they know.
Yeah.
but because it was also announced this week that New Japan Pro Wrestling, they have a new global
partnership.
Yeah, or they're trying their new strategy initiative. Yeah, they're trying to go and partner up all these different wrestling indie feds, I guess, throughout the world.
World domination.
Yes. So is a Ring of Honor, Global Force, right?
Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. Global Force.
There was something like what Thailand and
Taiwan, Singapore, and something else.
Yeah, but they don't have any actual
and a couple of UK promotions too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So anyway, once that got
and
out,
Triple A.
Triple A.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So, well, that was announced around the same time that Liger was announced for NXT. And everybody's that's New Japan, New Japan. They're going to partner up. It's like no. let's clear the air real quick here.
All right.
According to what the interwebs knows.
Right.
Liger has an exclusive contract apart from New Japan. And he can pretty much wrestle wherever he wants. Whereas the other wrestlers in New Japan, they can't. They have to, you know, they have to partner up and do whatever New Japan does, right? So, when it was announced that Liger is going to be at the,
Brooklyn.
That one.
Yeah.
Everybody said, oh, well, it's gonna lead into more things and other people will be coming in. And, no, that's not gonna be the case. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Come Rumble, if we see Shinsuke, then maybe. Yeah. But for now, no. No.
Shinsuke Nakamura in the Royal Rumble. Now that would be crazy.
No. What's crazy is for one night only, one last goodbye. The man wanted it. The man's requested it. Daniel Bryan
versus
Shinsuke
Nakamura. Oh, sheesh. Holy Shinsuke.
Yeah. Hiroshima.
Hi.
Now, speaking of TakeOver, we talked about it earlier. Another example of maybe WWE kind of like poking the finger at Ring of Honor.
Uh-huh.
You know, we talked about it last week. TakeOver Brooklyn, Saturday, the night before SummerSlam.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's going to get old.
Yeah, this is
going to be the same night as Field of Honor at MCU Park where they're going
to... Really?
That's the same Saturday night show.
Oh.
Now, they were pulled. Obviously, we had this talk earlier. But there were their NXT Texas tour.
Yeah.
It was going to be here Thursday before Night of Champions. Coincidentally, the Saturday, they were going to be at San Antonio, which, again, is the same night as night number two of All-Star Extravaganza.
Right.
For Ring of Honor.
Okay, Ring of Honor has already been established. That Friday, the 18th, and Saturday, the 19th in September, is they're going to be in San Antonio. Ring of Honor is in San Antonio. Then the 20th, the Sunday, Night of Champions is here in Houston.
Yeah.
What was, like we said earlier today, the 17th, that Thursday before all that, NXT is supposed to be here at the Bayou Music Center in Houston, but that got pulled. But there was also other NXT dates.
Yeah.
And that one that you're talking about
was
going to
be Thursday here in Houston, Bayou Music Center. Friday was going to be at the Austin Music Hall in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And then Saturday was going to be at the Aztec Theater. Which I don't know if they have different rooms besides the one that I went to, but when I went to see Limp Bizkit earlier this year, that place was not, as people would say, wrestling friendly.
Okay.
That's not the kind of place you would have a wrestling show, in my opinion.
Really?
You know? So there might be an auditorium or somewhere on the second level where it might be able to house a show like that, but if they're going to do it in that same concert hall, it's going to be kind of awkward.
Awkward, like small? Or...
It's very the front layer is very small, and then like maybe 30% of the second, third, and fourth floor.
Hmm.
So it isn't a big bowl that goes all the way around. So it's kind of like cut off.
Okay, so basically, Ring of Honor and NXT were booked for that same night in San Antonio.
Yeah,
allegedly, according to earlier today.
Yeah,
But later this evening, or you know, whatever.
As of now, the events have been pulled off.
The events have been pulled off of WWE.com, so we don't know what they're going to do. Yeah. Hopefully, the one that's that Thursday night that's that was going to be the
at
one
least
here
the
in Houston,
Thursday one will stick.
I hope so. Yeah,
there's too many. There was too much information up there from the WWE website itself for us to think that it's a fluke. I think what Travis mentioned earlier during the message thread that we have. They might have wanted to make a bigger announcement.
I think it was Andrew that said that. But
that
yeah.
too.
We all look the same.
That, Gingers.
That they might be able to announce it on Monday. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe tomorrow. Or on,
or
this
on NXT
episode,
itself.
NXT,
yeah,
that the tour's continuing.
Yeah. But there's also going to be a WWE main roster house show in Beaumont on
Saturday.
Saturday
not
as
the,
well.
Not the first time it's happened.
Yeah.
Scarily enough. A couple of years ago, Night of Champions, that was here in Houston. The night before, it was in Beaumont.
Right.
That was the night that Jericho was MIA. I'm Jericho. That's night Benoit. That Benoit was MIA.
Right.
Sunday, Night of Champions here. So it's not unprecedented. It happens often.
Yeah.
And if anything, they test out half the matches that are on the pay-per-view just to make sure they get all the bugs out before they air on the network. So a lot of there's always a happening when WWE comes to town.
Yeah.
To the state. And now with NXT is just a whole lot crazier.
NXT, ROH, and WWE all coming to our area. That's going to be quite the birthday weekend for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then Global Force is still doing that September tour in the ballparks the couple of weekends before.
Are they coming to Texas?
No. Yeah, it's Corpus Christi, San Antonio, and Round Rock.
Eh, awesome.
Yeah.
No Houston dates, bastards.
You can tell that to Ring of Honor, too.
Yeah, well, I've already told them that. And they don't listen.
Back to the show. We got Liger taken care of. Somebody had something to say about Samoa Joe.
It was me?
Yeah.
What did I say?
I don't know.
You can't have it both ways.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Pinky out. Go ahead.
Yes, well, you see, the thing is... hold on, give me a second here. What was I going to say?
Something about Samoa Joe, you can't have it both ways.
Here, let me fill in the blank for you.
I'm old.
When we've all watched Samoa Joe for so long, and then they bring him to NXT, I was like, oh my God, the person that no one has ever seen on NXT before, yet they claim it's Samoa Joe. Oh, everybody knows who Samoa Joe is.
I think
bring us into the jobber match that he had.
Yes, enhancement talent, if you will.
Yes.
He finally pulls out, he's been doing the muscle buster, right? And then he finally hit the Kikita clutch on... whoever this guy was.
Jobber McJobbenstein.
Yeah, that guy. The announcers, the commentators, as soon as he puts on the hold, yeah, look at that. Oh, he's going to get him.
I think he's going to tap out. No, he tapped out.
He didn't even have the strength to tap out. They called the match.
Michael. So, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Wait, hold up. You, now you're pretending like you don't know what this move is. Yet...
you knew what the Muscle Buster was.
You knew what the Muscle Buster was. You know who Samoa Joe is as soon as he walks out, you know, his first appearance. But now you don't know what this move is. And it's just like, where are they going with this? It's just like I was saying beforehand, you can't have it both ways. You can't pretend like you're WWF from the 80s and 90s when you bring in an established guy from the outside and pretend like he's brand new that no one knows him. You can't have it that way in 1 second. And then the second, as soon as he walks in... that's Samoa Joe, ROH, and you know all these other places. You know that's kind of like what they're doing on this end. It's kind of like a few months ago when they had UA Nation.
Oh yeah.
And I said it right then. I said, why are they doing it like that? Why are they, you know, treating it like we're already supposed to know who this guy is?
Mm-hmm.
And well, look at him now. Where is he?
Yeah, he hasn't been on TV in a while.
Ever since that little promo where he signed his contract, but. That's the point I was trying to make earlier was it's like you can't have it both ways on that. It's just like are you acknowledging who these guys are and the fact that you're in the know on who these people are, where you're bringing them in from, or are you playing it safe in WWF cookie cutter style?
Yeah.
You know, and trying to establish them as your own, especially on the same character.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent on Samoa Joe, I don't see him lasting very long. The crowd reactions, or lack of crowd reactions that I was hearing from that match... granted, it was just a enhancement talent, but there's like no reactions for what he was doing.
Not only that, well, I mentioned it earlier. Again, these episodes are taped. That was probably the last taping of a four or five episode taping. Imagine a reality of wrestling TV taping when we're there for 3 or 3.5 hours while they go through 4 or 5 different episodes. Mm-hmm. You'll be burnt.
Oof-ta.
We had just the same analogy that we made last week for Ring of Honor, where they tape their shows after a pay-per-view the next night, and it's 4 episodes worth, and you're going to be burnt out, and you can't really do their style all night.
You had a good solution for that.
Yes. If they're going to keep going both ways with this NXT WWE stuff, they should be taping, they should be going old school Attitude Era. Tape one night of NXT. If you want to do it live, you can. If not, you can just tape it for the next week and then tape for the week after and do your tapings every 2 weeks to keep it fresh, to keep the crowd from being burnt. You know, you might want to have a main event with, like a dark match for the main, for a post taping match with, maybe a couple of guys from the main roster, you know, something different. But to keep the crowd fresh and animated so you don't see the same thing every time, like, you know, the Orlando crowd from TNA, you saw the Matt Morgan fan in the same seat for 9 months.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a dedicated fan.
Yeah. Speaking of the lack of character, you were nitpicking on Joe. I was not a fan of this Corbin promo. They built Corbin as this lone wolf, one-man army, dark, brooding,
right,
does his own thing, dances to the beat of his own drum. And then all of a sudden we see him at a tattoo parlor bragging about these championship rings that he's gotten in football.
In a team sport.
There's nothing.
Good point.
Regardless, and with that said, there's nothing that he does that reminds me of football. Mm-mm. There's nothing about his character that screams, I'm a team player.
I would not have guessed that he was an ex-football player.
He's also an ex-boxer?
I wouldn't have guessed that either.
You're saying guess. I'm saying don't care.
And play professionally.
Yeah.
Which Baron Corbin are you giving us? Mm-hmm. The badass brooding biker or the braggadocious Tom Brady meets Corey Graves? Covered up in tattoos. Like, what is it going to be?
I think we're getting Corey Graves 2.0.
Basically, I think so too. The only shining light, which also was kind of a detriment, if they wanted to play that angle, that the substance of the promo was about all the guys that have basically gotten their reputation everywhere else, while Corbin is making his own reputation in the brand and has the pedigree of being a boxer and a college player and a pro ball player, they should have done this from the beginning with Rhino. Hype up the matches that he had at house shows with Joey Styles bringing in other ECW guys.
Yeah.
And then connecting that with, hey, this guy Samoa Joe, you think he's special because he wrestled in Ring of Honor and TNA. You think Sami Zayn is special from Ring of Honor. You think Kenta's special from New Japan. You know, and all that. That this could have been done 2 months ago, so that Travis would have been more invested in what Baron Corbin's doing now rather than him just saying, don't know, don't care.
Yeah. You know? Here's the one positive out of this is at least now I get a sense of what direction they're taking the character.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's a heel.
Oh, yeah.
I know what some of his motivations are, I guess, or what his objectives are now. Whereas before, it was just he would come out.
You can count to 20 and then the match is over.
And he said, I don't care if fans hate me, this and that. It's like, other than the one time you try to go against Rhino and people started booing you because you're going against Rhino,
everybody had been cheering you.
Yeah, it's like that threw me off, but I was like, okay, I guess they're rebooting his character from scratch.
They're trying to establish it like, hey, you're supposed to not boo me by basically saying, hey, you guys have been booing me. We have? Oh, okay, boo. You know, the power of suggestion is what they're trying to utilize right there.
So maybe they can turn around it, but I don't know, something about him just as right, like he doesn't like do anything for me whenever he comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's his moveset. Maybe it's his name. I don't like his name. Maybe it doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
Maybe it's still the lack of match. You know, most of his stuff has been squash matches, and you don't really, other than the Rhino match, you really didn't see much substance out of what he can or can't do.
When I think of NXT, I think of workhorses doing amazing matches. And we haven't seen that out of Corbin. Corbin's been 20-second squash matches with the exception here and there with, like, you know, Rhino and somebody else. But even then, it wasn't a great spectacle. It's pretty much the finisher.
It wasn't workhorse. It's barely work.
Yeah. Yeah. I like his finisher.
I don't.
And I get surprised on certain people when he pulls it off, like on Bull, like, it, yeah, him to one hand Bull.
Rhino.
Yeah, and Rhino. Like, okay. But I don't see anything else from his moveset that makes me go like, wow, that's impressive. The same way I'll watch a Finn Balor match and go, wow, that's impressive. Or Hideo Itami or Bo Dallas or Neville or whoever. You know, all these matches that happen in NXT are amazing because they do amazing moves and they're 20 minutes long and they're going at a fast pace, boom, 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 and they're doing moves that you've never seen ever happen in a WWE ring. But none of that crap happens with Baron Corbin.
You know why? Because all those other guys you just mentioned, they are bred from the indie scene for the most part, and they know how to put on matches. Baron Corbin, whatever his thing is, it's not indie style wrestling, it's WWE style. Like, his whole gimmick and everything could have been on WWE since day one.
Yeah.
It's not NXT style. It's not indie style. It's WWE style. And I think that's where your disconnect is from the other guys you just mentioned.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
Yeah, everything he all these little squash matches, he could be doing on a Raw or no, SmackDown this whole time.
Main event.
Main event, yeah. Superstars.
Do we have a match of the week candidate with Charlotte and Sasha?
I'd say yes.
Is it your pick?
It might be. I see. Man, the ending of Cena and Owens is just really throwing it off for me. Like, I thought all the way throughout that entire match, this is going to be my match of the week pick. You know what? This could even be maybe a match of the year. And then that ending happened, and it just was like a big old turd in a punch bowl. Like, it just. So now that I'm, like, downgrading that match, I'm like, well, you know what? This girl's match was really good. But we've seen it before.
How many times was Del Rio and Ziggler in a match of the week?
Good point.
And you know, before the ending of that match of Owens and Cena,
yeah,
I think I may have said this, but it wasn't even their best match. Like, I don't think so.
No,
I don't know. They've had elements of the first, like, their parts of the first match was really good, but parts of the second match was really good. This third match, it just seems like more the same that we've already...
Well, see, that's the thing. I thought that match 3 had elements from match 1 and match 2 integrated into it.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like it was a good culmination.
Like, they finally got their groove together, I guess.
Yeah, or... like one, they were kind of, like, filling each other out, then boom, the big surprise. And then 2 was like, all right, I think I could beat him. All right, I beat him. All right. And then 3 was, we know what we're going to do. And we're going to counter each other both ways. And I think it came off a little bit more crisply.
It's the ending.
Yeah. I don't know.
You can have the best meal in the world. If you're going to get diarrhea for a week afterwards, you're going to remember that you're never going to eat that again.
And wrestling diarrhea. Name of the title right there.
I am not naming this episode Wrestling Diarrhea. People are going to get the wrong idea from the get-go and not even listen. We're going to stick with whatever.
Oh, like they got the wrong idea for wrestling
diabetes.
Yeah, you won't go diarrhea, but you'll say diabetes.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right. Oh, man.
Charlotte and...
Chris Fisher thought.
No, that was it. Like, it's a candidate. It could be my pick.
Are you talking about the Charlotte-Sasha?
Charlotte-Sasha. Yeah. But yeah. It might be because of the lack of competition, because we've seen this before, and other than the emotional ending, they might have done better before.
I think so. Do we have any matches, picks from the pay-per-view? I liked the New Day primetime player match. I thought it was the entertainment segment or match of the night. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's not my match of the week for sure. It might be a candidate just for all the aspects and elements that was in that.
Yeah.
I mentioned this on...
But nothing, I mean...
Owen Cena? That's it?
I mentioned this
definitely
on Battleground.
Definitely not the main event.
While we were watching, almost every match on that card felt like it was 5 minutes too long.
Yeah, you'd said that while we were watching
and
it, yeah.
That kind of regurgitated on Raw because every match on Raw had a commercial break, and half of them weren't even necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Owen Cena might be the only candidate for me, but that's not. I'm not touching that with a pick.
We're already talking about picks, but we didn't talk about Lucha yet.
Yeah, then we're getting to that. Let's take a quick break. Ring of Honor. None of y'all watched it except me. We'll make it short and sweet. Mark Briscoe against Jay Lethal for the television title was fun. It's what you expect from both of them. Shenanigans in the end with Dijak and with Truth Martini and with Jay Diesel. And then Jay Briscoe, ODB, and Roderick Strong, who was on commentary, even the battlefield up.
Okay.
So for episode 200, which is happening this week, it's an 8-person tag. Intergender. ODB, Jay and Mark Briscoe, and Roddy Strong against Jay Lethal, Jay Diesel, Donovan Dijak, and Truth Martini.
Wait, he's going to wrestle?
Yeah, he's part of the match.
Wow.
They were supposed to do 6 3-on-3, and then ODB grabbed the mic from Jay and said, hey, there's not 3 of us and 3 of them. There's 4 of us and 4 of them.
Nice.
And Lethal agreed to it while Truth was vehemently trying not to get in this match. But it's official. Main event for all this right. coming episode. 4-on-4. Intergender. That's going to be fun. Like, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Silas Young had a pretty, He had a match against one of the up and comers from last year's top prospect match.
Tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like there wasn't chemistry there. Like, it just felt off.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's everything from Ring of Honor that I could remember.
Did anybody watch Impact?
No.
No. I heard Bully Ray's officially the boss. Like, he came out as the authority
figure. Well, we talked about that before.
Yeah, and he already scheduled a chain match for the upcoming episode.
Yeah, Bully Ray is authority. That just seems, like, counterproductive to his character.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is he still wrestling? I mean,
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't... Let's move on. Okay, Lucha Underground.
Match of the week candidate for me right off jump. Killshot versus Corino.
I agree.
That might be my pick, too. I'm debating between the women in that match.
Okay. Yeah, that match was really fun. Like most matches on Lucha Underground, it was fun. I like the moves that they did in the match, but I don't know if there's necessarily going to be long-standing ramifications or if this is even going to be a feud or anything like that. I think it was just a one-off fun kind of match. I could be wrong, but...
Well, for the medallion.
For the medallion, yeah. But
they've been stalking each other for a while in previous episodes. You know, so that's been built.
Yeah, so...
If they do anything other than that, then, you know...
I forgot about that Killshot was stalking him. That was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, right?
And it was for one of the 7 medallions, the Mexican gauntlet.
Well, hold on. Before you go off into that, is that a match of the week candidate or pick for you, Trav?
It'll be a candidate. I don't know if it's my match, though.
We'll come back to the pick in a second.
Okay, go ahead.
The medallion gauntlet, the Mexican gauntlet. I did some research. Travis and I did some research. And we found out what the 7 medals are. Yeah.
Like spoilers for real? Or
yeah. So here we go.
Wait. So, spoiler alert?
The first medal is the labor medal. So, when you get that medallion, you have the ability to work forever without tiring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's back up, Chris. You're just saying gauntlet. For those of you who don't know, Marvel has...
The Infinity Gauntlet.
The Infinity Gauntlet with the Infinity Gems.
Okay.
Yeah. There's... You get all 6 gems. Whoever has all 6 gems is unstoppable.
Like Dragon Balls.
Yeah. And Lucha's building up, and Kratos building up that whoever possesses all 7 of these are immortal. And could even beat Kratos' brother.
Okay.
So the first one, labor. You work forever without tiring.
Okay.
All right. The second one, the chef medal. You love it. Mexicans are known to make anything edible.
Okay.
That's the chef medal. The third one, the Tecate medal. Mexicans, unlimited sobriety. Drink to the gills.
Right.
Not one flinch of drunkenness. The miser medal.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose?
The miser medal.
I don't know. Metal. Straight edge. I don't get it.
Able to budget your funds correctly. Mexicans are very shysty with their money.
Okay.
Almost Jewish borderland.
Right.
Almost.
Right.
The dodge medal. You're able to avoid law enforcement. Whether it's police, INS, security, debt collectors like you.
But more importantly, INS.
INS, yeah.
If you could dodge an INS collector, you could dodge a ball. Yeah. Gotcha.
So if you got the dodge medal, then you have to have the accompanying Ford medal. The Ford medal, you're able to own many disabled vehicles. Fix or repair daily. You know? And then the last medal is the fertile medal. When you have that medallion, you're able to constantly reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
And you put all seven of them together, you'll be the man, the greatest man that ever lived.
The most interesting man on the planet?
Yeah.
Chris, what butt did you pull this out of? What?
Oh, that was his own.
You thought this was real?
I didn't know what it was. Like, what are you talking about?
You had him going, too.
No,
high three, my man.
I didn't think that this was actually what Lucha's doing, but like, is this off of like?
But would it surprise you?
A little bit. Like, Lucha. See, here's what I was thinking. I was thinking that you did some research and that maybe there's like some sort of a Holy Grail type story where there's really is so quote unquote a Holy Grail. And like, but like an Aztec version that it really are medals, Aztec medals, but I think you just made something up.
He just made it up!
Okay.
Gotcha, bitch!
What a waste of a segment. Get out of here.
Okay, let me bring it back. Travis, Vamp, Pentagon. Go.
I said last week that I think Pentagon might be my favorite character. No, screw that. Pentagon's my favorite character on Lucha right now.
Nice.
Yes,
And he don't even speak English.
Right? Go figure.
Yeah. It's like, you can't even understand the
it's
man.
It's like a paradox for me or something.
Yeah.
But this storyline with him and Vampiro... Oh, excuse me, Ian. Mm-hmm. trying to get Vampiro back. Oh, God, this is gold. Wherever they're going with this. I'm loving it. Loving it!
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
He is my favorite wrestler in wrestling right now.
Yeah.
Character-wise.
Yeah. They shared this promo on Lucha shared it on their Facebook page, so I saw it before I saw this episode today. But I saw the whole interview unedited. Drug out a little bit, you know, classic old-school promos. You know how they lead up to, especially with everything they've done. You knew what the end game was.
Right.
But, man, it was done very well. The choke slam was a little bit too long for my taste, milking the crowd reaction before we actually executed the move. But other than that, I'm freaking psyched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
This is the very start of Lucha, that other backstage with him and Cueto. When Cueto is telling Pentagon, hey, I got these medallions here. I want you to have a chance to win it. I want you to be in a match tonight.
He's like, no.
Pentagon's like,
hell,
no,
I'll even give you one for all the carnage you've done lately.
Okay, fine.
He said no.
Yeah. No, I got one. I got one purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. Even with the mask, even with the face paint, you can see his scoff and just barely waving the finger. That's all.
Yeah.
Scoff. That's a good word to use for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like disdain.
Yeah. It's like, eh.
I'm waiting to see, like, Vampiro, like,
full on.
Vampiro, you know?
You think he'll go that far?
I think so.
I hope so.
It's Lucha, dude. They have characters. And I mentioned to you, I like what they're doing. It's alter egos. Mm-hmm. Like, he even said, you're not going to fight Ian
Zelgowskis,
whatever his last name is. You're not going to fight him. No, there ain't no way you're going to fight him. And then he turns around, because you're going to fight Vampiro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, like, there's, like, you could tell right there, you have, you know, clean look, you know, no face paint, no nothing. That's Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Vampiro is a psychotic dude with white face paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I think we're going with this. Mm-hmm. You know, two different, like, Ian is on commentary. Vampiro is preparing to whip your ass.
Right. The storyline...
Or set you on fire, whichever. Mm-hmm.
The storyline for this and the build up to this match is 10 out of 10. Hell, 11 out of 10. I'm just afraid that the match itself will probably be like a 4 out of 10. Just
even worse. Because Vamp's out of shape.
Exactly. I don't think Vamp can go.
But do you care?
I don't.
I do there a little. Go. A little.
I'm already assuming Pentagon's beating him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's doesn't matter how the end game's going to go. I don't know how it's going to look.
I'm just afraid that it's going to be like like a 5-minute Vamp trying to get in punches and kicks, but he's already gassed. And then, Pentagon has to just take over and, you know, we got to take this home real quick and then boom, break his arm and that's it.
It doesn't matter because me and Chris, we have our own fan theory what's going to happen.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Should we tell him?
Spill it.
The master is revealed. It's Conan.
Conan.
It all ties together. Ever since episode one, mm-hmm. when Conan first came out and Vampiro, from the second he seen him, he was already talking trash about how terrible of a person he is.
Yeah, yeah.
For shame on this Conan person.
How's that going to affect the main, though, with Puma and everything?
You got to tune in and find out.
Ah. Or you can read the spoilers and find out.
Shut up, Chris.
You know why? No, you know why I say that? Because I am purposely avoiding them.
For this show? You're avoiding spoilers?
I have not read anything for Lucha. This Ultima Lucha has already been taped.
Yeah, I know.
The Steve Austin interview with Johnny Mundo. Yeah, he spilled it. Like, it's already been taped. Like, I'm like dying to watch this, and I do not want to get it
spoiler
ruined.
McGee over here not actually
this is
spoilers.
Actually worth it.
Yeah,
this stuff right here.
Oh, yeah. So you do like to be surprised sometimes.
Yeah. If it's good enough.
Yeah.
And if it's for somebody different, Abel. Let's close it up. Puma, Mil Muertes.
Oh god, this is gonna be sick. I can't wait to Ultima Lucha for this. They're gonna tear each other up. But again, back to Conan. Man, where is this going to leave? Like, I mean, Conan just kind of got taken out. Is he going to be out, or is he going to be okay by the time
we're I kind of wish they did what we were watching this. Chris, like, when Conan came out and he started getting beat down, and Chris is like, ooh, Vampiro's going to save Conan. just to, like, make it even, like, worse when he, like, when he turns and becomes the master.
That would be crazy.
Right? Yeah.
That would be crazy.
And even then, like, when he was starting to be rolled into the casket, like, Vampiro's like, oh, this is getting, like, he was, like, getting all, like, fired up, like, he was going to go and do something. But
do you think maybe Katrina is going to resurrect Conan the way she did Mule? And
he comes, like, back with white contacts.
Arriba la raza! And all that, yeah.
Ah, Katrina.
Bitch.
That's it for Lucha, man.
But I will say, with that whole setup, that segment with Cueto coming out and says, we have a match at Ultima Lucha, but I'm impatient. Let's bring these guys out now. like you know, usually you have, like, contract signings and this and that, where it's like, it's not like said that they're going to fight. Yeah. But this guy here is like, I want to see it now.
I want to see them together now.
So let's bring him out.
And then he brings him out, and then he gets in the middle. He goes, wait. You up there, you go away. And then all hell breaks loose.
I love the fact that Puma was the first one to throw a fight, or throw the punch.
Yeah,
when he saw Katrina up there, and he saw the disciples coming out there, he saw, like, two and two.
He knew he was screwed.
Yeah, so he went for it. Dude,
yeah.
This is going to be a good fight.
Yeah.
Who do you have winning? Oh,
fuck. No.
You see, that's what I love about Lucha. I can't even, like, come up with some. Like, the very first match of the show was Bengali versus Daivari. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Daivari's going to win it because he's...
Me too!
That's the guy, he's more established, he's been pushed, whatever. No, this guy dressed like a cat, he's going to win it. Like, he's looking at himself like he's, like, you know, after the match.
He's got a medallion.
Like, he really thinks he's a cat. So, he's the one that's going to go on to win everything for the medallion to turn himself into a cat. I don't know what he's going to do.
An immortal cat.
Yeah. Yes. SummerSlam Showdown.
Oh, hey, man, that's still going on. Yeah. This is the end of round one.
Yes.
Ah.
Bret Owen, steel cage for the WWF title against The Rock and Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
Bret and Owen is up by 3 votes. There's 3 of us. You're the Bret lover, so I'm saving you for last.
Okay.
Travis.
I hate when you do that. All right, so who's in the lead right now?
Bret Owen is up by 3 votes.
Oof, okay. This is a tough one because Brock was... that was the passing of the torch. The
coming out party.
Yeah, for Brock Lesnar. and that was the turning point for The Rock himself. The time he was still trying to do both movies and wrestling. And he was still, for the most part, babyface. Mm-hmm. This match, kind of leading into it a little bit, people starting, you can see her smattering of boos. This match made him a heel, pretty much, going against Brock Lesnar. And that set the tone for things to come later on. It set up Lesnar as a beast, or the next big thing, I should say. Mm-hmm. And it also set up Hollywood Rock for when he came back later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Owen and Brett. As much as I love the technical aspect of things, we know what they can do. We know the history of them. And this is more or less the rematch from
WrestleMania.
I actually prefer the WrestleMania match to this one. So with that in mind, and what I just said about Brock and Rock, I'm going with that match.
Brock and Rock.
The Brock and Rock connection.
Chris.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
It's hard to choose because I agree on everything you said. The only difference is there was more than once during that match where I thought this match should be over. And it kept going.
Which one?
Rock Brock. It's like, this match should be over. That match was about 40 minutes. 30, 35 minutes. That was long. And there were times in that match where I thought it should have been over. But I do agree, the better match out of the two, the spontaneity of having Owen win at WrestleMania, I think that is what makes that match better than the SummerSlam match. It's split in hairs. I'm also going Rock Brock.
Woohoo!
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's down to me. Owen Brett. but no, this, I know I'm being funny and flippant here, but in all honesty, in all seriousness, this is probably the hardest matchup that we've had in the first round, period.
So far.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. In the first round. Yeah. The first round isn't supposed to be this hard. This could have just as easily been the finals or the semifinals.
Yeah.
Just because both of those matches are just so darn good. I love how Brock came out first, was in the ring, waiting for The Rock. The Rock comes out so fired up. He takes the title, puts it on the floor, talks some trash, jumps around, and runs to the ring. And boom, 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 here we go. Start with a bang. I loved it. And that image of that match has always stuck in my brain. Always. But Bret Owen, dude, I cannot go against Bret Owen.
So you're especially really going to go against what you just said with the...
No, that's what I'm saying. This is tough. Both matches are really good. I'm trying to put them both over here. Bret Owen, though, man, I understand that their match at WrestleMania happened first and that you two are saying that that one was a little bit better. I think that there was more significance in this match because, yeah, sure, it was WrestleMania and Owen beat Bret, but it was kind of fluky, you know? And Bret, like, went on and actually beat Yokozuna at the end of the night to be the title holder. And then Owen came out, you know, after everybody was celebrating, Bret's on everybody's shoulders and, hey, I beat you, and da da da. I'm like, I thought the story there was Owen was fluky. This is a one-time thing. He's jealous. He's stupid. Whatever. But then you go to this match here. This match is like, oh, okay, wait, hold on. Maybe we were all wrong about Owen. Maybe Owen really is that damn good. Maybe he is better than his brother. And it just spawned off from there. From then on, Owen, in my eyes, was at the same level as Bret. Even though he was always the heel, and even though he was always the one with the inferiority complex, even though he might think that he needs to prove himself, I think that at this match, that's when everyone realized, you know what, Owen is just as good, if not in some aspects better than Bret. So I'm going with Owen Bret.
Who is Bret Owen facing? Let's see.
Wait,
triple threat. Yeah, Bret Owen won by two votes.
All right.
So we move on to the other one.
All right.
Triple threat, SummerSlam 2000, Rock, Angle, Triple H for the WWF title.
Okay.
Against SummerSlam 96, Shawn Michaels versus the man they call Vader.
Hmm.
Now, let's...
The triple threat is leading by three votes. With three of us,
the triple threat is Well, let's put this out there real quick because that was kind of a dark horse match, that Vader and Shawn Michaels match. We weren't going to put that in there. I think we're looking for a last match, and then I was like, you know, I said it. It's like go back and rewatch that match
because
there's some things in that match that it's worthwhile for this tournament. I think. Did y'all go back and watch it?
I did not.
Okay.
I did.
I did too, and. The thing with the Vader Shawn Michaels match was this was a time when this is probably Shawn Michaels in his prime just won the title.
Oh, yeah.
And Vader still not in his prime, I wouldn't say for him, but he was still the monster.
He had penance. He had come into WWF at that time a five-time WCW heavyweight champ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Unbeaten. He's mowing down.
This is people. Still new in his WWE. Yeah, WWF,
this is fresh in his WWE run.
Right, right.
And go, Travis. I'm going to let you highlight
that. the beating that Shawn Michaels took was reminiscent or will be foreshadowed in future matches that we've seen recently, such as anything involving Lesnar.
Yeah.
Vader, just straight up, just pounding, just punching right in the face. Just like getting him in corners and just beating him down. And Shawn Michaels literally having to fight everything he's got to do anything to Vader. And this is, we're talking about stuff like hurricanranas to the outside of the ring, top rope planches.
The hurricanrana to the outside of the ring was countered into a power bomb.
Yeah.
The electric chair was countered into a victory roll outside of the ring. Michael's kick up, skidding the cat from a second time got countered by Vader just lifting him up and launching him into the ring, flapjacking him into the ring. Mm-hmm. You want the Rollins that you wanted against Lesnar? That was HBK versus Vader.
Yeah. Okay.
Too dumb to know that he couldn't beat Vader, yet he was too dumb to keep fighting.
Yeah.
And that's what we got.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's two things about this match that is kind of, in my mind, a detriment to it. That is, there was a lot of shenanigans and gimmicky endings on this one. First, it ended in a countout where Vader won the first time.
Yeah, Vader won both of them.
Yeah, by countout, by countout and disqualification.
Yeah,
and then it went to the third part of it where it was just he lost. So that part of it kind of threw, but the build up, like the action, kind of picked up every time they restart the match. So that there was some give and take on that one. Now, the triple threat match. Triple H, The Rock, Kurt Angle. Three workhorses, especially in that time frame. This in wrestling history.
I'd say all three of their primes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And let's take consideration. This is the same match that Kurt Angle got concussed at the very start of this match and continued to wrestle. in this match.
He took a nice nap on a stretcher while The Rock and Triple H carried most of it. Then he crawls back and finishes it off.
And there's a couple of aspects to it. This had probably a memorable build-up with Kurt Angle, Stephanie, and Triple H, that little love triangle thing.
Yeah.
Built up beautifully to this match for them both fighting for the title, which was currently The Rock. He was the champ at the time. So they all worked that angle into that match. Stephanie getting involved. Shenanigans do ensue here and there. But for the most part, it was what it was. Triple threat match. The hard hitting. This is another tough one. I'm going to go with the triple threat match.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed in myself, but I wanted to go with Vader and Shawn Michaels, but I was rewatching that match and I was like, this is good. I'm liking what I'm seeing with the physicality of what Vader is doing to Shawn Michaels, just beating the hell out of him.
Yeah.
but comparing that to this match, it's just kind of not fair.
Well, I gotta be honest. I don't remember either match. I'm not sure.
And you call yourself a wrestling fan.
I'm not sure
if I've... podcast. Get out of here.
I'm not sure if I've seen either match. I mean, I think I have, because I know I've seen plenty of SummerSlams. But I have no recollection of either. Of either. So I just, I told myself that, hey, I was going to go back and rewatch the stuff, but I didn't rewatch that. Hell, like, I didn't watch TNA. I didn't watch ROH. This was a crazy week for me.
Your vote is null and void.
No. Well, I'm still going to throw out a vote. excuses are excuses. But I like the idea of, after hearing you guys explain it, after listening to our people interacting on Twitter, you know, and Andrew, what, you know, he said about these matches. I think I like the idea of HBK versus Vader more so than the idea of that triple threat match, even though I don't remember either one. I know that point in time of in both of those eras and both, like, so I should remember, but I don't remember the match itself. But I think the thing that everybody's been saying is that Vader should have won the match, you know.
Technically, he did too, twice.
Yeah, If that's the case, I'm going to go ahead and vote that because I like the idea of that match and it being kind of a dark horse. And that's where my vote's going to go. But it's just purely theoretical at this point because I have seen, but I just don't recall either match.
Well, I'm going to go right behind you and agree.
Oh my.
Yes. As much talent and as much work as The Rock, Angle, Triple H, Triple Threat was, it still falls into the category of your basic triple threat where one person is taken out for the most part and it's not really a triple threat. Vader beat HBK like a punching bag.
Was it reminiscent of Brock versus Punk?
Brock Lesnar matches is going to love this because that's the way you build up a dominant heel. Hmm. And even with him losing, I think it was enough where Vader kept his credibility, and a lot of that goes to Cornette.
He already had credibility, so it didn't hurt anything.
Well, in WWE, Kevin Steen has had a lot of credibility in Ring of Honor, and Kevin Owens doesn't have squat now because of Cena. Vader won twice. Vader beat Michaels by countout. The referee was there, and they stopped the match. They were going to separate them. Cornette gets on the mic. He's like, are you chicken? Are you coward? We came for the title, not just for a win. Restart the match. If you have any guts, you're going to do it. Sure enough, they restarted it.
Yeah.
HBK was about to get the upper hand. Cornette grabs his leg and tries to interfere. HBK grabs his tennis racket, starts whipping Cornette like a mule, then turns right around and beats the hell out of Vader with it.
Yeah.
Guess what? HBK loses by disqualification. Cornette gets on the mic again. You wanted to lose this on purpose. You know my man Vader's going to beat you for the belt. We want a rematch right now. If you got any guts, if you can muster up the courage. And then sure enough, HBK, bah, super kick. One, two, no. Vader hits him with the powerbomb. Referee's out. Another one slides in. One, two, no. I forgot how Michaels pins him, but he pins him.
It
was a roll up or something. I forget.
It was an elbow drop?
I think.
We just watched
it. I know. But HBK pulls one out from circumstance, just out of nowhere, and pins him clean. But man, watching it freshly, because I hadn't watched it in so long, I was like, wow, they really built Vader up that he actually beat HBK, technically. Like, holy crap, they're doing it, and Cornette wants this to happen. It's like, oh my god, I forgot how this went. Is this gonna... And I agree. Andrew put it best. He voted for the triple threat match because he thought Vader should have won that. And rewatching it with Travis, that's where you can come out on top on a loss. Not in this situation, because HBK had just won the title, and he had gone through all these big men. They had built up Vader as this unstoppable force. Even for a pay-per-view, they could have had Vader beat him and then come around the next pay-per-view and just have him drop the belt back to HBK. It would have been awesome. But regardless of the finish, I think with the two disqualifications, they kind of protected Vader. The way they built up Vader, I actually am picking HBK Vader.
You know what, man? I changed my vote. I'm vetoing my own vote. I'm going back. No, because right after I voted that, I said, I feel bad for doing that. I feel dirty. So cancel my vote. I'm going for Vader.
Dude, this isn't over. You have a coin?
I got a coin.
We're tied with our three votes.
Since you changed your vote, we're tied?
Yeah.
Holy.
So we could still end up with the triple threat.
Remember, this
time, keep it away from the computer.
Yeah. Heads
is Vader. Tails is Menage.
Okay.
Heads is Vader.
Holy crap.
HBK Vader by the luck of Two-Face.
You know, someone's going to call us out on this shenanigans.
Yeah, because this wasn't on Periscope this week.
That's true. Why. So we don't have visual evidence.
So HBK Vader goes on to the next round against Brett Owen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Next week is going to be the first of our second round, or I guess what are these?
Quarterfinals?
Quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Alright.
I've got the matchups right here.
Alright.
First match. We have Lesnar and Punk, our match of the year from 2013.
Yes.
Going up against The Rock, Triple H, ladder match for the Intercontinental title from 98. That's our first match.
Oofta.
Our second match is going to be HBK Razor, ladder match from 95, going up against Taker Mankind Boiler Room Brawl.
Wow.
From the same pay-per-view that we got HBK Vader from.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep, 96.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess that was a pretty good SummerSlam.
Yeah. 96 was a good year.
Yeah.
Actually, 96 was a good year for wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our foray into the quarterfinals.
Wow.
Those two matchups.
That's going to be pretty good. Yeah. So, get on our Facebook page when we post up the new graphic for that, and chime in there on who do you think should win those quarterfinals, those two matchups, and let us know. You could also let us know on Twitter if you're so inclined. Hashtag HWR Summer Showdown.
You know, I was just thinking, people are gonna talk about that HBK Vader match going over, but I think deep down, I think everybody wanted that one match to go over.
Yeah. They're only trying to find excuses.
It's a dark horse. It's a dark horse entering this thing.
I think that's like Michael's Jericho.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's not going to make it past the quarterfinals.
Well, just look.
You one
just
coin toss later and it's in the finals.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, because the other match that's going to be, we're voting on next week, is Triple H and The Rock in a ladder match. Triple H and The Rock are in the triple threat match. You already got them right there, so there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Give Vader some love. Yeah.
It's time! It's time for the quarterfinals. And I think that's a show, man.
Makes me want to watch some Boy Meets World.
Nice. You and your boys. What the heck?
SummerSlam Showdown. Place your votes. We'll have the bracket tomorrow. Answer HWR. Your pick for the Royal Rumble 6 months in.
Yep. Yay, user interaction.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? Have we got a show?
That's it, my man.
All right. Well, then, thanks so much for tuning in and listening. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles.
Pop your culture.